ask you about something. What happens when some of the suffering that we're going through, we know good and well we caused? I wonder if anybody, just one person out there, is dealing with any painful consequences. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Because this is a very complicated matter, isn't it? When we live in that whole regret thing of, look what I did to myself. What happens then? How do we deal with that kind of a situation? What do we do when we're fairly certain we're going through a little disciplinary process with God? Anybody know what I'm talking about? What we call a little time of chastisement with God. How do we deal with that? Because I just want to throw out to you that at times nothing is more complex than that. And I tell you a couple of reasons why I feel led to share with you on this particular topic and study God's word with you where it's concerned. For one thing, because I've dealt with it so often. I know what it's like to just so royally mess up, to make so many foolish decisions, and to get yourself caught in some long-term situations that you know you asked for. It's a very complicated thing when you're getting healthier and God is putting you back together again, but, you know, you're still dealing with the old consequences. Maybe somebody can relate. Anybody know what I'm talking about? How do you deal with a mess that you know deep in your heart you made? Does anybody think that's a good question besides me? Because a lot of things we're victimized by. Injustices happen. But then there are other times when we realize the mess we're in, we got ourselves in. That was me. I was shocked when God began to clean me up and began to heal my heart, to find out that people that walked in between the ditches still had problems. I thought every problem I ever had was always a consequence of sin, because that's all I had ever dealt with. And so this is just huge to me. It may be that your example is not that dramatic, but let me throw out a couple to you. I can tell you that the most intense time of chastisement from God I have ever been through in my entire half century of living was over pride and self-righteousness. That was the very thing God was treating in me. Not my carnality. My pride and my self-righteousness got me into more trouble than anything has ever, ever had an impact on me. It could be that maybe we were haughty and ugly in a relationship that is now turned back around on us. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Well, now, I want to be nice now. You know, we just kept thinking that spouse or that person was just going to keep taking it. Could be a poor business or financial decision. Anybody know what I'm talking about? That you think, I am still dealing with that. I'm still dealing with it. Maybe somebody can get that. Or proceeding with something that we had a warning in our heart about. And we knew. I mean, anybody besides me ever gone, God told me not to do that. I knew in my gut, something told me, do not proceed with that. And I did. Or it may be something huge like an infidelity or a secret life of some kind. But what do we do then when we get caught in whatever way we might get caught? It catches up with us and we start dealing with our consequences. What do we do then? What do we do when we're going through a time of chastisement? I think that is an extremely significant and important question, because you need to know your place with God and your place in the body of Christ. I want to read to you out of Hebrews chapter 12. I'm going to start at verse 5 and read through verse 13. Anybody glad to be in the Word of God and to hear something? A little bit of hope. Amen. A little bit of hope where this subject is concerned. Even when you made and I made my own mess. Verse 5. And you have forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. I want to submit to you today that maybe we have forgotten this. Maybe we didn't even know it. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. Do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. The thing about enduring hardship, the thing that makes hardship so hard, is that it is so hard. You know, it's a hardship to take. Would somebody disagree with me here? It's hard. It says, for what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we have respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? It says our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. I want you to see verse 15 as well. See to it that no one misses the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. I'm not sure we are ever in a greater setup to miss the grace of God than when we think we do not deserve it. Listen, the very essence of grace is you cannot deserve it. It's impossible. The very fact that it's grace makes it something you cannot possibly earn. And you and I, even if we're the ones that wrecked our ship, we got to know there's grace for us. And we got to know what on earth we're to do with it. Now, I like to think, I have a student's heart, so I like to think if I were in a classroom, the kind of questions I would be asking at that moment. And one question I would have right now is, okay, Beth, now what is the difference between consequences and chastisement? Because we're really going to settle on, when we're going through it, what we realize is some discipline from God. Well, what's the difference between consequences and chastisement? Consequences are just, they are the natural outcome. They are part of the natural order of God as boss. Anybody getting that with me? Because of the way he set up the universe, both saved and unsaved people, he has put a natural law over the human kind that says you will reap what you sow. It will come back to you. There will be consequences. It doesn't take being a believer in Christ to have consequences of poor decisions. Would we agree with that? But chastisement is a much more wonderful thing than that, although we think it's worse. We assume from the very beginning that just means punishment, and that's always going to have a more negative connotation to us. But chastisement is God's supernatural order, his supernatural law as Father, as Father. The other is a natural order of God as boss. This one is a supernatural order of God as Father. Listen, I need somebody to know here today that if you are a child of God, and by that I mean if you have received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, your God cannot be unbiased about you. He can never set aside his fatherly, his Abba love for you and just try to make a very unbiased decision. God is completely biased where you are concerned. His favored child. He cannot ever separate himself from the huge emotion of being your parent. I don't know about you, but that's huge to me. That's important to me. I need to know that from him. He's Father. And so what this means is when we allow God to do what he needs to do to bring us to the place where he needs to bring us, he overtakes our consequences and they become part of a teaching process instead of just a consequential process. I want to show you this, and I'm praying somebody is about to be set free with what we're going to read. Leave something in Hebrews 12 because that is our text for this series. But go with me now to Psalm 103. I want you to see some words that if you will let them, will become like a balm to your soul. I mean, this is just medicine to our aching, so often broken souls. Psalm 103, verses 10 through 13. Say this. Psalm 103, verse 10. He does not treat us as our sins deserve. I need somebody. I need from somebody on the other side of that screen, I need a really loud amen. I need a shout of hallelujah because he does not treat us as our sins deserve. If he did, I promise you, I would not be here serving you today. I promise you. It says then, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. So the transgressions have been removed. So what about the consequences? Stay with me here. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Keep that word fear in your heart and in your head somewhere as we go through the lesson. We'll see it later. But now stay with me here. God only allows the consequences to come to pass that will teach us. Throughout the Old Testament and New Testament, when the word discipline is used, anytime it talks about the father disciplining his child and uses the word disciple or discipline, it is always about a teaching process. It is correction that is always instruction oriented. It is never correction for the sake of correction. It is correction for the sake of instruction. God will only allow the consequences to come to us that will teach us where we do not want to be. He allowed enough to happen. I mean, he had just had mercy on me. I cannot tell you how long I would have thought I was getting away with some of my stuff. And finally, because he just kept saying over and over again, Beth, you need to repent. This needs to stop. Just a little longer. And then boom. I mean, then the kind of consequences, I mean, he could have just killed me. He truly could have. He certainly could have just taken me out of anything that would have ever been useful to people. And this was a number of years ago when I just went through my full-out crisis with him in my early 30s. I mean, it just could have been over for me. But he only allowed the consequences that made me know, okay, I know one thing, that's not who I want to be and that is not what I want to do. Anybody know what I'm talking about? If it's enough to get us there, it's kind of like, have you had enough heat yet? And when we have, then it's like, okay, I'm ready to change. And we're not ready to change until then. So, we do not get what we deserve. And I praise God for that. We only get the consequences that are going to teach us that we want to be different than this. This is not how we want life to be. Now, I want you to see some things. I'm going to go through just a series of things pretty quickly. We're going to have two parts of this lesson. We're going to talk about what makes dealing with consequences and chastisement so complicated. And then we're going to talk about how to go through it victoriously. But in the first portion of it, what makes a season of chastisement or discipline so complicated? And I'm turning back now to Hebrews chapter 12. Here are a couple of things I want to throw out at you for you to have as food for thought. First of all, is the fault we have to accept. The fault we have to accept. In case it's been a while since we've really received that word, it's F-A-U-L-T. We live in a culture that teaches us that nothing is our fault. And listen, we cannot get on to change if we can never accept responsibility for something we've done. Never. It's a beautiful thing to finally just go, I own up. You understand what I'm saying? Until we can get to a place, we can't get on with it until we then take responsibility for what was my own stuff. I mean, I had stuff done to me, but I don't know, maybe I'm the only one, but I did some stuff. I did some stuff. It's an interesting word when it says, do not lose heart when he rebukes you at the very end of verse 5, because it's a word that says to point out, it's a word that means to point out a fault. That God is gracious to go, you know what, you got a little character issue right there. Right there. Right there. He is not afraid to go, you know what, Beth, I need you to own that up. Because he knows, here's what it takes, I'm so sorry. Well, what is it we're so resistant to about just going, I own that, and I am so sorry. I'm so sorry. It's got to start there. So what makes it complicated is we got some fault we've got to accept. And let me tell you something, everybody does. Everybody does. Nobody has just stayed innocent and always been done wrong. It just is impossible in just human form. It's impossible to do. We all have fault. We've got to accept it. Until we do, we cannot get on with it. Number one was what? Do not take it lightly. Am I stepping in that with me? Number two, but don't lose heart over it. Don't lose heart over it. I love the balance of the Word of God and what He teaches us, because He says, let me tell you something, fear me over this, but you better know how much I love you. You got to know how much I love you. Do not lose heart in this process. It says it next, right after it says, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. It says, and do not lose heart when He rebukes you. Do not lose heart. This is a God who loves you. I want you to hear Proverbs 3. Jot down this address, Proverbs 3, 11 and 12. I want to just speak this over somebody listening and somebody watching. Proverbs 3, 11 and 12 say this. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline. Now, this is the inspired writer of the book of Hebrews is quoting this very verse. and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father the son he delights in. Do you know that God disciplines those he delights in? When it's hard, go, thank you, God, you delight in me. You delight in me. God goes, you know what? You are so delightful to me. I would like for you to learn how to be a delight to others. Amen. You know what I'm saying? I really love you. I really love you, and I really like to put you in a real lovable state so that you can just be a delight to people, such a delight to me. And I'm going to go with you through this process so that you can become the person that I know you are. I know you're this. I know the real you. I know the real you. And you can trust me. I'm building you into the real you. He disciplines those he delights in. Now, number three is this. We just got to humble ourselves and receive it. Just humble ourselves and receive it. Let me tell you something. God is drawn to humility. He says over and over again, I will oppose the proud, but boy, I will esteem the humble. I will give grace to the humble. I will give grace to the humble. He says in 1 Peter 5, 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. I need somebody to listen. I don't care how many times you've heard it. Listen to what I'm saying. It is a promise in the Word of God. If you will humble yourself before him under his mighty hand, you don't have to entrust yourself to anybody else's mighty hand. You know what I'm saying? And I don't mean we're never under authority. I just mean it's God we're talking about here. You just press yourself down under the mighty hand of God, and he promises you, based on the authority of his word, he is going to pick you up in due time, when time comes due, when the process is complete, and he can entrust you with the power that he wants to give you. I tell you, as a parent of two young adult daughters, when I was raising my young children, nothing tendered me to that child more than when I could tell that child was just trying to submit and have a sweet spirit during a time when they were grounded. It just, if they stayed rebellious with me, I can't tell you how many times I go, you know what? You're grounded tomorrow too. You might know what I'm talking about. Just burned me up. Just burned me up. Because you're not done, but you said 3 days, you know what? I want to see the right attitude. I still don't see the attitude I'm looking for. I see no humility out of you. I see somebody sassy in you. And we're not done yet. We're not done yet. But when I see, I can't tell you, there have been times that I've gone, you know what? We're going to be done with this a day early. Because it's just a sweet, submissive spirit. Just somebody that can go, Mom, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And I don't mind staying at home. I'll just, why don't we make popcorn? Well, then I just want to go, you can go. Because your heart's right. I love that. Tenders you. People respect. Seeing somebody that can just humble themselves under a time of dealing with consequences. Go be part of a local body. Hold your head up. You have the right to worship your God. In spirit and in truth, let's just not be fake about it. Let's just worship him from the pain and the consequences we're in. Let's go to the altar. Let's let people pray over us. Let's just be out there with it. Well, that's going to be the process right there. Out there in the light with the Lord Jesus. This I'm just dying for you to see, because this was huge to me. When I was putting this lesson together, never put these two pieces together. Number four is this. Never lose sight of the ultimate goal of all chastisement. Never lose sight of the ultimate goal of all chastisement. We talked about how all discipline is toward, or correction is toward instruction, but I want you to see the ultimate thing that God is after. And I'm telling you, I nearly just jumped out of my skin when this began to surface on the page. Look at verses 12 and 13 again in Hebrews 12. It says this, therefore strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees, make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. Healed. The ultimate goal of all chastisement, of every single disciplinary season we'll go through, when we're dealing with all manner of consequence that we know we helped ask for, the ultimate goal that God always has in mind, somebody celebrate it with me today, is he's looking to heal us. He's looking to heal us, that the end result is for us to be healed. I got chill bumps all under this wool coat. I mean, chill bumps. That to me, that of all the reasons why I love God, that's one of the top ones on the list. That even in all my stupidity, God works with me to heal me because he loves me and he delights in me. And you need to know that that's the way he feels about you. Because let me tell you something. Think with me here. That thing that keeps getting us into a mess doesn't just need correction. It needs healing. It needs healing. Listen. Every fault line is a broken place. Remember when we talk about having to own up to what's our fault? Okay, that one, that was my fault. Here's what God knows, that every fault line is a broken place. In other words, when I just keep doing that over and over again, something's broken. Something is broken and it needs healing. I can't tell you the joy that came to me and just the relief is the word I'm looking for. The relief that came to me when I realized after I was one of those people, I just was drawn to the pit and just back in. I worn out so badly, I had a heart for God, but I'd get in a mess again, find myself in a heap of sin again, and then out, then in. And I can't tell you what it meant to me when I realized that God was not only saying, you know, he wasn't only just picking out my sin. He was showing me my brokenness. Baby girl, you've been hurt. And you need some healing. You work with me and I will heal you. Son, I will heal you. The ultimate result of it is always to bring us healing. Listen to this translation. This is one of my commentators where he translates the Greek in some of his own renderings of it, and I want you to hear how he says it. Wherefore, straighten out the limp hands and the paralyzed knees and make straight paths for your feet in order that, see, he says that there's a definite article, and indeed there is in the Greek, a definite article before lame. He's saying that in order that the lame thing may not get turned wrong, but rather be cured. I want to read that again. In order that the lame thing may not get turned wrong, but rather cured. What is it? And it's different for you than it is for me. What is the lame thing? What got broken? What broke it? God will give us insight. Listen, brothers and sisters, God will give us insight into that. What got splintered? What's been shattered? What is the lame thing that keeps getting us over on that path that leads us to destruction over and over again? He knows what it is. He wants us to know so that we can be cured. I want you to look back at something else. Look in verse 11. Oh, I'll tell you. I just cannot express to you how much I want to see somebody get set free today. I want you to notice these words as it says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who've been trained by it. Trained by it simply means that we learned it. We went through the process of it. Like athletes, we were trained by it, and it brings a harvest of peace and righteousness. Now, you're thinking, Beth, that's good, that's fine, sounds real religious, but I'm not really getting why it's so important to us. I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to read you just a little portion out of Galatians chapter 6 that says this in verse 7, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature he will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Listen carefully. It is the natural order of things, the natural law that God has set up as boss. You'll reap what you sow. For some of us that have a very sinful past, we're going, oh, Lord, have mercy. There's a lot of hopelessness in that. Listen to me carefully. I want somebody to get them a revelation today The only thing that can change how this harvest turns out is cooperating with God and letting Him bring you through it with your knees down and your chin up. That which you normally should have outright in the natural order of things have sown and reaped. Suddenly the worst thing that has ever happened in your life instead reaps a harvest of peace and righteousness. This is the only, I need somebody to get this with me. This is the only thing that will change what you reap out of that situation. When we're going through a time of consequences, if we just let it be consequences, all in the world we're going to get out of it is just what that action deserved. Do you understand what I'm saying? But if we let God take it over and we cooperate with Him as a dearly loved child, knowing that He's after teaching us and curing us and healing us and putting us back together again, then that which should have deserved X instead gets A. Anybody get what I'm saying? It is the only thing that will change what is harvested out of the worst mistake of your life. You can let how this turns out be redeemed. But if we don't cooperate with Him, even if we're His child, but we just don't cooperate with Him, we just stay in our denial or we stay in our despair, we're just going to get what would come. But if we let Him have it and we trust Him, and know we are loved by Him and a delight to Him, God will change the harvest into peace and righteousness. I love what the Apostle Paul said. I've thought it so many times about my own life in 1 Corinthians 4:4. Paul said about himself, "My conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. It is the Lord who judges me." Listen, there's nothing innocent about my past. Nothing. Nothing. I don't even remember innocence when I was 3 years old, for crying out loud. But I can tell you this, today, after where I've been with God, as much sin as in my background, my conscience is clear. God and I have done the thing together, went through some very, very hard things. I've embarrassed myself. I've caused some consequences to come about that have been extremely painful. But you know what? My God and I have gone through it together. And after where I've been, and all I've done, my conscience is clear today to stand up before you and serve you, not as someone who has been innocent, but someone who has been healed. Healed. The chastisement was the very thing God used to heal me.